Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with producer Rosemary Brandt. Rose and I welcome you to the Buckmaster Show. We are off and running on a brand new week. It is Monday, June 9th, 2014. Hope you're having a good start to the week. We are here live on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice. We're here 12:04 to 1 each weekday. We stream the show at buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com, and we're always available for you on my website, buckmastershow.com. If there's a show that you would like to hear, we've got them all archived for you, and we do the podcast thing as well. Monday means political face-off time on the Buckmaster Show. With me today in studio, Bruce Ash. Bruce is seated to the right of me and Paul Eckerstrom to studio left. Then at about 12:30, we'll talk with University of Arizona cancer researcher who is the author of a new book, very controversial book, called The Great PSA Hoax, talking about prostate cancer. The Buckmaster Show live line 790-2040. Our Facebook page is Bill Buckmaster. Every Monday we do kick things off. Bruce Ash is now in his third term as the Republican National Committeeman for Arizona. There's only one committeeman for each state, is that correct, Bruce?
One committee man and woman plus a state party chairman.
Okay, one committee man and woman plus the state party chair. Paul Eckerstrom is here. Paul is a longtime Democrat Party activist, one-time state chair, and local Democrat Party chair. Paul's been very active and outspoken in Arizona politics for many, many years. The Monday Political Face-Off, presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family-owned and run since 1985, specializing in custom-frame mirrors. Yes, Mo did a fabulous job on the Buckmaster House custom mirrors in the bathroom. He also, of course, does all of our picture framing at the house, and had a job for him on Saturday. And Mo was ready to, as he is, always ready to handle any kind of job, welcomes it. He'll come out and measure. He'll come out and hang the particular items. So he does it all. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com, and they're on Facebook. Paul, how are you?
Good. Doing good.
Good to see you again. Yeah. And Bruce, how are things going?
Just dandy. And you know what? Everybody says Tucson is hot. And, you know, hey, by some measure it is. This is a great place to be.
Really?
It's dry and it is warm. Mm-hmm. But you know what? It's not crazy warm. You know, we're not in these hyper bad temperature things. Pretty nice June so far.
Yeah.
Pretty nice June so far.
Even with these record breaking temperatures, you say a pretty nice June.
Yeah, it's nice.
Huh. Night,
a little bit of crosswind.
Night,
yeah. Yeah.
Well, let me ask both of you. Both of you grew up in Tucson. Bruce Ash is a native. Well, Paul is too.
No, I moved here when I was five.
Five, yeah. Okay. When you were growing up, it really was drier here in the summertime, didn't you think? No?
No, actually, I think it was wetter. I remember the monsoons were much
What
more
I'm
robust.
Trying to say, less humid, no?
Yeah, well, I do think it was less temperatures. The temperatures seemed to have risen a bit.
And, okay, so it was hotter?
Yeah.
And I think the only difference between now and when I was a kid growing up is we had evaporative cooling when I was a kid.
Yeah,
and we have
right.
air conditioning today.
Yeah, it's nicer to be inside.
You know, and come the middle of July or so to the middle or end of August, it was pretty miserable in the Ash family. That's where we had a lot of family disputes at that time of year. I can certainly understand why people get a little cranky.
Yeah, a little hot under the collar. USA Today had a story, Paul, about will the next Arizona governor mend relations with Latino voters? And there may be some fence mending to do because of Governor Brewer, according to USA Today, has alienated so many Latinos in this state.
Yeah, I think, you know, it'll be an easier job if the governor is a Democrat, because I think basically what's happened is in Arizona specifically, but it's happening around the country, that the Republican Party has taken such a hard stance on the immigration issue, and to the point where it has alienated lots of Latinos. And it's not necessarily the policy behind it all, but it's the rhetoric. And basically, singling out a group of people and basically kind of calling them un-American. And that's the problem that the Republican Party has in what I think is the fastest growing demographic, at least here in Arizona, in terms of voters. And I just saw in that article there was a by 2030, there'll be a 178% increase in the Latino population when the non-Latino population is only going to increase by 42%, which means demographics are changing. And it means an opportunity for the Democratic Party in terms of voters. And I think it's a drag for the Republicans. The one thing I would say is the Latino community cares about issues that all of us care about. Whether their kids get a good education, whether they have a decent paying job and can live buy their own house, live the American dream. And I think on those issues, the Democrats are poised to do very well with the Latino community. And Democrats have not alienated them with this this hyper rhetoric about illegal immigration.
Bruce Ash, do you take issue with the writer of this article who says Arizona is in a state of denial in terms of who it is and who it will become?
I think the writer is in a different place in reality from most of us. Look, I am tired of Democrats who are constantly comparing Arizona to places like Mississippi in the 1960s. Mm. That is absolute election falderal that's being whipped up by these guys. Arizona is one of the fairest places to live anywhere in the country. The relationship here in this state between Latinos and Anglos and Blacks and Native Americans, Asians, you know, you name it, has always been good. And Jan Brewer has been an extraordinarily popular governor. She won overwhelmingly in her last election. And if she was allowed to run again, she'd probably win by a large margin this time. The issues that impact all Arizonans, as Paul said, have to do with employment, with the ability to get our kids educated, and they're not about these things that Paul said. Paul, do you really believe that Republicans don't think even illegal immigrants are un-American? I mean, that's preposterous. And you've just said something that I doubt if you can back up at all under any
circumstances.
Challenging
Paul here.
Well, I don't mean to make it. The rhetoric on the whole issue of immigration that the Republican, especially, and I don't want to lump everybody in this because I don't think Bruce feels this way, but the far right of the Republican Party that's very nativist and it fears the immigration of the Latino community and the increase in their population numbers in particular areas. I think that it makes Latinos, when they hear that rhetoric, feel like they're not welcome and they're not part of the American fabric. And that's why they are and they've always been kind of in the Democratic camp, but they by slimmer margins than they are now. And I think that gap is going to increase if the Republicans don't do something about it. They had a perfect opportunity to do something about it in this last congressional session if they had gone for a comprehensive immigration reform package. And they would have gotten it passed if John Boehner had just put it on the floor. There was enough Republican support and Democratic support to pass it. But John Boehner wouldn't do it because there wasn't a majority in the Republican caucus. I think that was a deadly mistake by the Republicans, especially for their future political plans in terms of being able to win national elections. The Latino community is not feeling welcome in the Republican Party, and that's their problem politically. And the Democrats speak to them on economic issues. The Republicans maybe speak to them more on social conservative issues. But I think because of that difference in not being felt like they're being welcomed by the Republican Party, the Republicans are going to lose them and lose them big for another generation or two.
Paul, with all due respect, by the same rhetoric that you've just espoused, that would make union leaders and union members also nativists because they are not very happy about the influx of large pools of unskilled workers who are coming here to this country and taking jobs away from other union members and other people who are in the different trades here in this country. There is a great deal of concern with literally tens of thousands of young people and mothers who have been coming to the southern border, really because the President of the United States has been trying to influence this whole debate about Dreamers. There is no humanitarian reason why folks are coming and are being processed in empty warehouses
in
Nogales, Arizona. This is a disgraceful play by the President of the United States and the Attorney General and the Director of Homeland Security, because all of the people who are coming here with these wild stories, what the president is supporting, they're going to be left out in the cold, or in this case, out in the hot weather.
Well, we could get into policy here a little bit, but, you know, the plain fact of the matter is, yeah, our immigration system needs to be fixed. And right now, the Republican Party is not willing to do a comprehensive fix.
No, it shouldn't do the policy that only ends up in a Democrat election trick. That's all the difference is between the two parties at this time, Paul.
The plain fact of the matter is, if they had moved to fix the immigration issue and ratchet down the rhetoric about that, the Latino community and most of the vast majority of Latinos in this country are not immigrants. They've been here for a while. Their families have been here for a while. They feel alienated by the Republican Party that has this horrible rhetoric that ratchets it up, that makes them feel unwelcome. The political reality is they're a voting bloc that's going to gain in power over the next couple generations. And if the Republican Party doesn't do something to ratchet down that rhetoric and start to fix the problem of immigration rather than make it a big political football, they're going to lose out in the political game down the road.
Don't try to turn
They
us.
Will.
Look. The alienation comes because Latinos have been stacked and packed in loaded districts with a lot of other Latinos. And what ends up happening when Latinos move out of those inner city and those ghetto areas and they start enjoying the American dream, Paul, they stop voting for Democrats and they begin voting for Republicans because it's all about their jobs and their pocketbook and their kids' education.
All right.
People in this country need to understand that.
Let's take a break right here. It is the Monday Political Face-Off. Bruce Ash and Paul Akerstrom, passions running very high here on the Monday Political Face-Off on the Buckmaster Show. You can join in the conversation at 790-2040. Back right after this.
Hello?
Hey, honey. Just packing and getting ready for my flight home.
Great! You didn't forget about Adam's soccer game, did you?
Hey, it's his last game of the season. I wouldn't miss it for the world.
But you land at 4. How can you be there by 5?
No problem. I'm flying into Tucson. I park right by the terminal, and the soccer field is only 10 minutes from the airport.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Want the best care for your companion animal? Then Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson is the place for specialty vets for your special pet. With a state-of-the-art, award-winning facility, only the Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson delivers compassionate, comprehensive veterinary emergency and specialty care 24/7 in a wide range of fields. Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson at North La Cunada Drive at West River or online at vscott.com. That's VSCOT.com.
Devereaux, Arizona inspires hope in the lives of the most vulnerable members of our community, our children. In Pima County, there are more than 4,000 children in foster care that need your help. Devereaux, Arizona's foster care program gives you the training and support you need to make a difference in the life of a child. Donate, volunteer, or become a foster parent. Find out how at devereauxarizona.org or call 520-296-5551.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com. Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico make a great getaway for a weekend or longer. It's just 3 hours or so from Tucson and 15 degrees cooler to get to an area with so much to offer, from hiking, camping, exploring downtown historic Silver City, or just relaxing in a lovely environment. Visit southwestnewmexico.org for the complete list of great places to stay and visit in Silver City, Grant County, New Mexico. This is Bill Buckmaster. Munger Chadwick are Arizona's business lawyers. Helping Arizona businesses for 40 years, Munger Chadwick is a strategic partner for many businesses operating in Arizona, the Southwest, Mexico, and globally. AV rated and ranked with the best lawyers of America, Munger Chadwick has recognized knowledge in all areas of business law, including corporate real estate, mergers, acquisition, employment, along with intellectual property and administrative law, and international trade, immigration, and government affairs. In matters involving disputes, Munger Chadwick takes pride in working with its clients creatively and aggressively, often resolving problems in ways that prevent or avoid litigation. Munger Chadwick, located in Tucson, Phoenix, and Tubac. Business know-how with personal service. Visit MungerChadwick.com or call 721-1900.
It's the Monday Political Face-Off, presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com and on Facebook. Bruce Ash is here and Paul Eckerstrom. These gentlemen feeling very passionate about what they've been saying during the first segment of the show. And Bruce, you're very upset about what you call this craziness that's going on at the border right now.
This is a trumped-up scheme that President Obama has fed into. This is about giving citizenship rights, about allowing entry for kids under the age of 21 who come here to this country. This is not the kind of immigration that was occurring up until the time that the president unilaterally, through executive order, saying that the deportation for kids under 21 was going to be stopped. They're coming here because they know that they're not going to be deported. And they're taking advantage of a president who, on his own, has decided what immigration policy is going to be. And this is a very dangerous one, I believe, and looking for rights for these new dreamers that are completely different fact situations from kids who came here, whether it's 5 or 10 or 25 years ago, with their parents, who really didn't have any mm-hmm. kind of ability to influence their futures. These kids are coming here because they know they're not going to be deported.
My understanding is what he's talking about is dealing with not immigration from Mexico, but immigration from some of the politically unstable Central American countries like Honduras and Nicaragua, and that they're coming here for political asylum, and that's a whole different issue on immigration. That people have to prove that they are political refugees, and it's not easy to get that asylum. So the other thing is, so people are coming here, but they're being deported, is my understanding. But it takes a while to do that process under the political asylum request. And so, one thing I do want to take issue with was something that Bruce said just before the break.
Okay.
That the Latino community is going to vote Republican because of economic issues, which I disagree with. I think the Democrats are perfectly poised to take advantage of it. We're the party for economic fairness. We're the party for decent paying jobs. We're the party, frankly, for public education and properly funding it so everybody gets a chance at a good education out of the blocks, and so they can be competitive in the workplace later. And it's the Republican Party that's on the opposite side of those issues, in terms of maybe social issues like abortion and things like that. Latinos may track towards the Republican Party if they care about those more than the pocketbook issues. They, in traditionally, that's been the push and pull where the Latino community has kind of split close to even, not even. The Democrats always have had a bit of an advantage. But I think because of the immigration issue and the rhetoric behind it, those numbers are increasing to the Democratic side, and the Democrats are there's such a disparity in economic justice issues these days with the concentration of wealth to the very, very top in our society that, again, I think we, the Democrats, if we stay on track with our traditional economic justice issues, we should be able to capture much of the Latino community on economic issues as well. And I think that's where it's going.
Paul, economic justice is about having a job and being able to provide for your family and not being unemployed. Yep. And what we find in this country is that Latinos and African Americans have been the ones left out of the whole hope and change promise that was made by President Obama when he ran twice, because their unemployment figures are dramatically higher than Anglos. They've never improved. And they won't as long as this country continues along the Democrat Party's lines with overregulation, overtaxation, and all of this business about economic justice. The free market is the most fair way for all people to receive the benefits of living in this country.
You know, Bruce, that would be interesting if you agreed that people should have a fair shake with a good education right out of the blocks. The Republican Party has systematically defunded education and public education in this state and other states around the country.
We pay more for education in this country and per pupil, you know, than any other country in the world, Paul.
That's not true. That's absolutely not true.
Well, I guess that flies in the face of everything out there.
What I would say is this. Ultimately, if you're in a lower income bracket or in the middle class in this country, you don't have much of a chance if you don't get a good education. And I think ultimately, the Democrats are on the right side of that issue for capturing that vote and including the Latino vote. And so, you know, unless the Republicans change things, I believe that Arizona, for one, is going to be a purple state, not a red state by 2020.
Let's go to the Buckmaster Show live line. Ingrid has been waiting very patiently. Go ahead, Ingrid.
Good afternoon. Not that long, really. Talking about education, you two gentlemen, do you think enough is being done, and is enough effort being put forth on the part of immigrants to learn English?
Okay.
You know, it's an interesting issue because most immigrant populations in our history have always come here, and they were pushed to learn English. Their kids were pushed to learn English because they knew that that was an important thing. And I think maybe with the Latino community, it slowed a little bit because Mexico is so close to us. But I frankly think that, you know, if you look at the different generations, the first generation or second generation Latinos in this country, they speak perfect English, and there isn't a problem. And so I don't really see that problem as big as a lot of other folks seem to have seen it. I think people still, maybe it's a slower process than past immigration, like from Italy or places like that. Because we are so close to Mexico, it's not like an ocean between us like Italy was. But I don't see in the kids of the first generation or second generation, they speak perfect English, and many of them don't speak Spanish at all.
Bruce?
Well, when my family moved to this country, they spoke Yiddish, and they learned English very, very quickly, and they were on the road to success early on when they did learn how to speak English here in this country. And I think that the ability to speak English and the ability to learn and to get out of your neighborhood. My dad virtually escaped from the Lower East Side of New York City, and he did so because he wanted economic freedom. He wanted to be able to control his destiny.
All right, Bruce Ash, Paul Eckerstrom. Gentlemen, thank you very much. I wish you both well and hope you both have a great week.
Okay.
Thanks, Bill.
Thank you. The Monday Political Face-Off is presented by our friends at Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family-owned and run since 1985, specializing in custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, picture framing, and hanging services and hanging systems. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing at Fort Lowell and Dodge and at moesgallery.com and on Facebook. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, the great debate over the PSA prostate test. That will be coming up right after our mid-break. SRN News. I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. Las Vegas police say the two suspects in yesterday's fatal shootings of two police officers and a civilian had ideology that was along the lines of militia and white supremacists. Police also described the shootings at a pizza restaurant and a Walmart as an isolated act. A Walmart truck driver is free on bond as he awaits a Wednesday court appearance in New Jersey. This in connection with the crash Saturday that killed comedian James McNair and critically injured three others, including actor and comedian Tracy Morgan. A family spokesman says an Ohio man now being detained in North Korea was in that country on vacation. It's part of a tour group. On Wall Street, the key averages are higher. The Dow is up about 18 points. The Nasdaq ahead 13. The S&P better by 1. More details at srnnews.com.
Here in Tucson, we love our beautiful mountain views, but large windows and sliding glass doors are huge energy zappers.
At American Openings, we build our doors just like our energy-saving windows to keep the heat where it belongs, on the outside. No matter the style, American Openings will create your doors right here in Tucson at a fraction of our competitors' costs. And although the price is less, our quality is excellent. Call today and enjoy our beautiful views year-round without losing your cool.
Call 664-1202 or visit AmericanOpenings.com.
This is Al Zaragoza, the voice of Culligan Water in Southern Arizona. Whether you shower, clean, or drink it, you will come in contact with water every day. So the question is, how often do you think about what's in your water, and how is your water affecting you and your loved ones? The fact is, there are likely contaminants in your water that will have an effect on the taste and smell of the water, not to mention why water is chlorinated. The good news is that Culligan has a solution. The Culligan AC30 Reverse Osmosis Drinking Water System is the powerful solution for filtering out impurities that affect your water. This state-of-the-art solution reduces chlorine and other contaminants that affect the taste and smell of your water. Of course, some contaminants may not be in your water. Why not take your drinking water to the next level with a Culligan drinking water system for $9.95 per month for the first 3 months service on an annual rental agreement? Call 792-9700 for details. That's 792-9700 or visit us at arizonaculligan.com. Culligan, better water, pure and simple.
Widened and improved roads, new bike lanes, sidewalks, pedestrian crossings, and bus pullouts. Many of these safety improvements are funded by the Regional Transportation Authority through its 20-year plan, which is making a difference in our lives.
Hi, I'm Lori. I live near the Twin Peaks Interchange. Since that new interchange and road opened, life has become a whole lot simpler. The new road saves me time, and it's a beautiful drive. I love it.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you since 2006. Visit rtamobility.com or Facebook.
Today's rapidly changing world brings challenges and opportunities. At Pima Community College, we are working with business and community leaders to develop programs that provide the right training for today's high-demand jobs. Whether the goal is a new career, transferring to a four-year college, or lifelong learning, Pima Community College can help you open the door to new opportunities.
For more information, call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. you too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Vero Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Vero Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Vero Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. I am Bill Buckmaster, and it's 12:35 on a very hot afternoon in June in Tucson. And I want to plug our phones for you because this is a very controversial subject that we'll be talking about over the next half hour or so about men's health, specifically prostate health. 790-2040, 790-2040. If you have a question or comment, something that you hear during the next half hour that you would like to weigh in on, we would love to hear from you. It is a raging debate over the screening for prostate cancer. Some doctors insist that testing for a protein called prostate-specific antigen known as PSA helps detect prostate cancer, catching it early, making it far less lethal. Others contend that PSA screening has prompted a barrage of needless treatment. Among those who believe it does more harm than good is Dr. Richard Ablin, author of The Great Prostate Hoax. It's a new book, The Great Prostate Hoax, How Big Medicine Hijacked the PSA Test and Caused a Public Health Disaster. Dr. Ablin is a professor of pathology at the University of Arizona College of Medicine. He's a member of the Arizona Cancer Center and Bio5 Institute. He is, in 1970, Dr. Ablin discovered the prostate-specific antigen, which has led to the development of the PSA test. Dr. Ablin, joining us on the Buckmaster Show live line. How are you today, doctor?
I'm fine. I appreciate very much. I was on the your program, I think, a couple of years ago, shortly after the op-ed was out in the New York Times called The Great Prostate Mistake. And so I really appreciate the chance to come back. If my mother were listening, she'd like to know that it's Dr. Ablin.
Dr. Ablin. I'm right. So sorry.
No, my wife calls me all sorts of other things, which we won't go into. So I'm very happy to be back. And I hope I can enlighten some of the listeners that perhaps weren't with us a couple years ago on some of the things that have happened in that time.
What would you say is the bottom line message, Doctor, about your book?
Well, in your announcement and mentioning me, I think one of the things that you mentioned is that about the harms versus the benefits. And I think the bottom line to all that is that there's no study to date that shows that the survival of men who are treated versus not treated, or those who have had a PSA test and haven't, they both die roughly at the same time. I think a very good example of this is that if you have two men, 65 years of age, and one of them decides to get screened, when he's 65 and he gets screened, he's diagnosed with prostate cancer, and at 75 he unfortunately dies. The other gentleman decides at 65 that he's not going to do anything until he has some symptoms. So at 70, he has some symptoms. He goes to his doctor, and his doctor says, unfortunately, you've got prostate cancer. We'll see what we can do. And he dies 5 years later when he's 75. So the difference here is those that believe in screening say, you know, come on, Dick, it's a no-brainer. You know, the man who got screened at 65, you know, he lived 10 years, and the fellow who waited and got screened, you know, and when he had symptoms at 70, he only lived 5 years. But the truth of the matter is both men lived 10 years, and the difference may have been that the man who was treated when he was 65 unfortunately had some of the morbidity, such as incontinence and impotency, associated with treatment of prostate cancer.
Well, Dr. Ablin, who should take the prostate test, in your opinion?
Well, I think it's very important to distinguish so that there isn't any confusion. The PSA test has two uses. The first use is that when a man is treated for prostate cancer, be it surgery or radiation or some other form of therapy, where the PSA test is very valuable is because the protein that we call PSA is found in the prostate, is not found in any other organ. For example, not found in the liver, the spleen, the kidney. So where the PSA test is useful is what we call as a harbinger for the recurrence of the disease. That is, a man, for example, has surgery, his prostate's removed, and then in the months and years following surgery, his level of PSA is measured. And because the protein is only found in the prostate being removed, the man should have virtually no or very little amount of PSA in his serum. So that if we find that there's PSA and it's increasing, that suggests either that they didn't get all of the tumor at the time of surgery, or it suggests that maybe at the time of diagnosis, the methods of diagnosis, the threshold for their ability to detect cancer, possibly at another site in the body, which we call metastasis, wasn't sufficient. So that's the use for which the PSA test was approved in 1986 by the FDA, and that's the use that almost everybody universally agrees is its accepted use. Unfortunately, in 1994, the FDA extended the use of the PSA test for the detection of prostate cancer. And that was a bad mistake that the FDA made. And this is what the book, The Great Prostate Hoax, is about, how it's an expose of the misuse of how PSA caused the public health disaster. And it holds the people and the institutions that caused this disaster accountable. That's the purpose.
All right. Dr. Ablin is with us. Dr. Richard Ablin is the author of The Great Prostate Hoax, How Big Medicine Hijacked the PSA Test and caused a Public Health Disaster. This book has been written up really all over the world. I have in front of me a review from The Economist in London, and they kind of question I hate to do this to you, but they kind of
do whatever you like.
All right. Well, they kind of question. They say that that you claim to have been the first to identify the PSA, though they say this is controversial. Why is that controversial? Do others contend they beat you to the punch on that?
No. The simplest point is, and fortunately, you picked out of I don't know the 10 or 12 reviews. You picked out the poorest, but that's fine, because I've been, you know, hearing this for, I don't know what, 40 years or so. Okay, so what the situation is that, and try to keep this simple, is in 1970 I discovered PSA.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't do anything further with it because I was looking for what's called a cancer-specific or a tumor-specific protein. That is a protein that's present only in the cancer of the prostate and not the normal or the non-malignant, which we call the benign.
Okay.
So because I didn't find that, I reported my discovery and I left it.
Mm-hmm.
9 years later, some other people rediscovered, as in many different professions, I'm sure you're aware of, people rediscover something, and they then went on and they developed the PSA test.
Mm-hmm.
And they have claimed that they were the ones who first identified PSA. However, the literature clearly shows that PSA was identified in 1970 by Ablin. It was purified and characterized in 1979 by other investigators who developed the test, so that I discovered it. I didn't feel, as I hopefully is able to follow this, that it wasn't cancer-specific. It didn't have the use that I was looking for, and it doesn't have the use today that it's being used for, and it's cost, it's a multi-trillion dollar disaster throughout the throughout the world.
Okay, Dr. Ablin, we're going to take a break right here. We have so much more to talk to you about, and many women listen to this program during the noon hour, and they're probably counseling and talking with their husbands about this PSA test. And we'll talk about the whole psychological thing of a doctor telling you, hey, you've got prostate cancer. Just knowing you've got cancer in your body leads a lot of men, I'm sure, to say, I got to get rid of it. We'll address that with Dr. Ablin right after this.
Today's rapidly changing world brings challenges and opportunities. At Pima Community College, we are working with business and community leaders to develop programs that provide the right training for today's high-demand jobs. Whether the goal is a new career, transferring to a four-year college, or lifelong learning, Pima Community College can help you open the door to new opportunities.
For more information, call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu. Vero Amore restaurants are known as the place for authentic wood-fired Neapolitan pizzas, plus delicious pastas, panini, salads, and more. Every flavorful dish is homemade using the finest and freshest local and imported ingredients available. Vero Amore has two locations open daily, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events.
Hi, I'm Steve Christie. I've served as an RTA board member since 2009 and through last year as its chairman. The RTA continues to be a most successful regional effort, with the RTA and our member jurisdictions completing so far more than 540 construction projects to reduce congestion, increase our safety, and improve crosstown mobility. As part of the original Citizens Advisory Committee, I'm proud of our citizen-driven plan as well as the RTA's accomplishments. We deliver, we promise. Learn more at rtamobility.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Jim!
Jerry!
What's wrong?
The client conference call is right now.
I thought it was next week.
I don't have the presentation ready.
Okay. Blame the internet. Say it went out.
They'll never believe that. They know we have Cox Business. Our internet is too reliable and is 100 times faster than basic DSL.
Say customer service is closed.
Cox Business has 24/7 support.
Well, say it would take too long to get a technician here.
No, they know the award-winning customer service is local. They told us to get Cox Business.
The call has started.
Good morning.
I forgot about this meeting. We have terrific internet.
Switch to Cox Business Internet and Voice for only $99 a month. Speed options up to 100 times faster than basic DSL. Plus, get a 30-day money-back guarantee and free professional installation with a 3-year agreement. Visit coxbusiness.com and switch today. Ends 8/31/14. Price excludes taxes, fees, and may be subject to minimum service requirements. Visit coxbusiness.com for internet speed options and details. Actual speeds vary. Limited 30-day money-back guarantee. Exclusions and other restrictions apply.
Tucson Desert Art Museum, Tucson's newest art museum, is home to one of the premier collections of pre-1940s Navajo and Hopi textiles, exquisite classic and contemporary paintings and photography, early maps and historic artifacts. Visualize history through art at Tucson Desert Art Museum on East Tankerverde Road at Sabino Canyon Road, just west of Udall Park, and on the web at TucsonDart.com. That's TucsonDart.com.
Welcome back, 790-2040, 790-2040. It's 1250 on the Buckmaster Show. Dr. Richard Ablin is with us. Dr. Ablin, University of Arizona pathology professor. He's a member of the Arizona Cancer Center and Bio5. He, in 1970, discovered the prostate-specific antigen, which led to the development of the PSA test. He's the author of The Great Prostate Hoax, How Big Medicine Hijacked the PSA Test and Caused a Public Health Disaster. Dr. Ablin, you wanted to make another comment about
The
Economist.
Right to, is it all right to call sure. you Bill?
Yeah, call me Bill, sure.
Okay, so okay. The thing that's important here, and I want to say this as quickly as possible, is that the whole idea here behind those people who are saying that he didn't do this, he didn't do that, is, you know, there's an old thing, and it goes in any discipline, and that is, I've been trying to communicate a message for the last 30 years that the second use, that this test can't do what it's purported to do. And so one of the neat things to try to do with people like that is, if you discredit the message, you discredit the messenger,
mm-hmm.
and that's the object here. So the thing is, what I'd like to spend the time on here, and I'm happy to talk about, you know, the other whenever with anybody, is the purpose of this book. It doesn't have anything to do with the discovery of PSA, because the PSA, if it was discovered by this other group or it was discovered by me, it's still the same protein. And the whole point here is that this protein discovered by Dick Ablin or somebody else cannot do what it's purported to do in the terms of the detection of prostate cancer. And that's the purpose of this book. And that's what I'd like to, you know, answer any other questions or okay. anybody that calls in.
All right. Point well taken, and I'm glad you clarified that about the Economist piece. Now, what about the psychological implications? You're told you have prostate cancer. People say, I got cancer. I got to get it out of my system. What do you say to that, Dr. Ablin?
All right. The difficulty here, and that's one of the purposes of the book, is to try to explain that the data, the evidence, for the treatment of prostate cancer, as we mentioned a little while ago, is very questionable. And the reason for this is because prostate cancer is an age-related disease. I think we may have talked about this a little bit the last time I was on the show, but mm-hmm. if you take a group of men, for example, between 60 and 69 years of age, whether they're African Americans or Caucasians, if they have a biopsy, 65% of these men are going to have prostate cancer. And the difficulty with a man who was diagnosed with prostate cancer is what to do is, is because of the fact that prostate cancer is an age-related disease. 65% of men in that age group will have prostate cancer. Now, I analogize prostate cancer in an open box with a rabbit and a turtle in it. So the difficulty is, and the whole crisis here, is that the turtle, which stands, you know, symbolizes the indolent or the insignificant, it's cancer. And cancer is probably the most feared word in any language, but it's cancer. Mm-hmm. But the difference is the turtle crawls around the box and goes nowhere, and the man who has a turtle, in terms of prostate cancer, dies with it, dies with something else, cardiovascular disease, congestive heart failure. The other kind, which is the aggressive kind, which is symbolized by the rabbit can jump out of that box with no top at any time.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the problem for the man who goes to his doctor and is told that he has prostate cancer is that we don't know if that cancer that that man has is a rabbit or is a turtle. And the difficult with the PSA test is that it's not cancer specific. It cannot detect prostate cancer because the protein is not a cancer specific protein. Second, there's no level of PSA that's diagnostic for prostate cancer. A man can have a level of 0.5 and have prostate cancer, mm-hmm. and have 11 and not have prostate cancer. And okay. it can't distinguish an indolent from an aggressive cancer. That is, it can't tell you whether you got a rabbit or you got a turtle.
Yeah, so you're saying there's really no control level that is accurate.
Well, there's no level. For example, if a man has a PSA of 100 or 200 or 300 or 2,000, then obviously he has what we call extra prostatic disease. That means that his cancer, you know, is out of the prostate. In other words, if we envision a bowl of fruit and we've got some apples, some pears, and some grapes, and if we call the apple as the prostate, once the cancer is found in, you know, in the grapes or the peaches, it's out of the prostate, and that means that it's extra prostatic. But the biggest problem with the PSA test is, regardless of who discovered it, doesn't matter, is that it's not cancer specific, and it cannot tell you whether you've got a turtle or a rabbit. And so what we've got here is that we spend $3 billion a year through the VA and the Veterans Administration and Medicare, excuse me, on a test that can't do what it's purported to do, and as a consequence that we cannot distinguish between a rabbit and a turtle.
Okay.
Millions of men have been overdiagnosed, overtreated, and as you ask, what's the consequence of that? The consequence of that is impotency, to which the urologist, you know, will tell you, say, Bill, well, there's no sex in heaven. And the incontinency is, to most people, incontinency, you know, is a word.
Right.
But if you visualize a 55, 60-year-old man who has to change his diapers 10 times a day because he's dripping and wear plastic pants, and then coupled with the incontinence and the impotency, and, you know, and a lot of doctors will say, well, we can fix that. Well, we can fix it with the side effects that are associated with, you know, with fixing it. And then from a psychological point of view,
yeah.
I mean, if a man can't control his flow of urine and he's impotent.
Right. I'm going to have to run real fast here.
Yeah. Okay.
I take it you don't do the test, yes or no?
No, I've never had a PSA test. Despite, you know, the figures that I give you,
yeah.
It just, it can't do what it's purported to do.
All right, we'll leave it right there with that bottom line conclusion from Dr. Richard Ablin. Thank you very much, Dr. Ablin.
Thanks so much.
Okay, he is the author of The Great Prostate Hoax. It's a book that has been talked about a lot, How Big Medicine Hijacked the PSA Test and Caused a Public Health Disaster. This portion of the Buckmaster Show, presented by our friends in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. It's worth the trip. 3 hours east of Tucson to the cool climes of Silver City. It's over a mile high elevation. It's about 7,000 feet in the neat little community just north of Silver City called Pinos Altos. It's a great place to get away. Lots to do. Hiking, arting. You can go antiquing. All of it there in Silver City. Places to stay like Little Toad Creek Inn, Burrow Mountain Homestead RV Park, and Spirit Canyon Lodge. Find out all the great places to stay and things to do by visiting southwestnewmexico.org. Bottled water on the Buckmaster Show is supplied by our friends at Culligan. Culligan, thank you for giving us better water, pure and simple. All of the in-studio guests enjoy a nice chilled bottle of Culligan water. Wake up Tucson, Chris and Joe, 6 to 8 tomorrow, then the Daily Double with Christy Simone. It's 4 Tucson at 4 with Mike Shaw, a new talk show, and then producer Rosemary Brandt and me, Bill Buckmaster, back with you tomorrow at 12:04. Have a great afternoon and evening.
Intelligent Talk 24/7, AM 1030, KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. On the web at KVOI.com.